Chapter 8. For a few mornings as we left for school, my mum asked me if I had done my duas. My mum is absolutely obsessed with having a routine that we stick to every morning, a bit like it's one of her science experiments. My parents do their duas whenever they think of something they want to talk to Allah about. I sometimes wonder if other people see a Muslim's lips moving and think they're secretly casting a spell or just talking to themselves, when actually they're just doing one of their duas. There are duas for everything: eating, sleeping, waking up, protection, knowledge, leaving the house, coming back into the house. Basically anything you can think of. I used to forget them sometimes, but now I was making sure I did them as soon as I woke up. Especially the prayer for protection, because Daniel was getting meaner every day and I felt like I needed all the help I could get. He had started to follow Charlie and me around the playground at break times. Sometimes he wouldn't say anything, but he would do lots of staring and make grunting noises as if he was having some really mean thoughts. And once, he charged at us like a rhino. Then started laughing like mad because it made Charlie jump. Minus Daniel, school was getting to be quite all right, especially since Charlie and me were becoming super best friends. We laughed at all the same things, and we even wished for all the same things, like getting an Xbox and more screen time to go with it. That was starting to make up for how much I missed my friends back at my old school. I was still a bit worried that they might be forgetting about me, but Dad said we could all get together in the holidays. Mrs. Hutchinson was really nice too. Every time she saw me in the mornings or when she walked past my desk, she checked on me and gave me a wink. Not all the lessons were fun, obviously, but whenever we did something creative, she got really enthusiastic and her curls were happy and bouncy. It made me wonder if maybe she could imagine the things the way I did, or if she was just like all the other adults. One afternoon, when we were doing an art lesson about Picasso, Mrs. Hutchinson was so excited about how he made everything abstract that her curls started dancing with joy. She asked us to paint self-portraits just like his. Charlie and I were having loads of fun giving ourselves colourful triangle noses and weird shaped eyes when Daniel walked past our desk and sent the dirty water pot tumbling onto my painting. Oops, clumsy me. There he was again with that upside down talking. It definitely wasn't an oops moment, it was a hey, let's ruin Omar's painting on purpose moment. Charlie's mouth dropped open in surprise, and my heart took a little dip as if it was falling into a different and less comfy place in my chest. It seemed like Charlie could tell exactly how I was feeling, because he leaned in to whisper, "He's just a big frog spawn head. I bet you can paint a new one even better." And he gave me the biggest, toothiest grin I'd seen yet. I imagined what Picasso looked like. I wondered if he looked like some of his paintings, all out of shape, but happy. Happier than all the other paintings from those old days. And then I thought, hey, what if some kid had ruined Picasso's painting at school one day, which is why it came out all different and weird, and that's what made him famous? So I took my paintbrush. I grabbed it like it was alive, and like it was the first time that I'd ever held a paintbrush. And I painted. When Mrs. Hutchinson saw my work, her curls almost rose to the ceiling. "Omar. Omar," she said, "you did this?"
"Yes, miss."
"It's... wow, it's brilliant." Daniel's face was red, like the beetroots my dad will never eat. He passed me a note that said, "Watch out." When Mum came to pick me up, he stared at us both as if we were someone's old chewing gum that had accidentally touched under the desk. I almost pointed him out to her, but then I remembered how relieved she'd been that I thought school was okay, so I kept quiet. Sometimes, though, I think my mum magically knows when somebody in her family needs cheering up, because that evening she announced she was making biryani. Biryani is my all-time favourite Pakistani food. It's hard to make, and Mum says scientists with full-time jobs just don't have the time to make it every week like I'd asked her to. Mum always opens the French door to the patio when she's cooking, no matter how cold it is outside, because she can't stand the house the smell of food. Homes are meant to smell of nothing, she says. Not fish, not samosas, not smelly socks, and not even weird artificial air fresheners. And since the door was open, I stood there with my giant bubble kit to see if I could really make a bubble bigger than me, just like it said on the packet. I could see our next door neighbour, the horrible Mrs. Rogers. She was outside, poking around her weeds with one wrinkly hand and holding her fern with the other. After a few minutes, we heard her say loudly, "John, the Muslims are frying smelly onions again." "Oh, I'm with her on this one," jerked Dad quietly, who hates it when the smell of frying onions and garlic get into his clothes.
I know, we don't want us to give her another reason not to like us," said Mum.
Then she held Dad's arm, like she does when she's going to tell him a really good idea.
"Let's send her some. She'll love it."
"I know it gets really stinky when the biryani is cooking, but seriously, it's so yummy. It's worth it."
I couldn't believe that Mum was being so nice to her after the way Mrs. Rogers treated us when we took her those chocolates. Why did she deserve some of our delicious dinner?
And, to make it worse, Mum and Dad made Mariam and I take it round to her house. She took ages to open the door, as usual, and when she finally did, and we tried to give her the container, she just said, "Spicy food? No thank you," and closed the door.
"Sheesh," said Mariam.
"You'd think we were trying to poison her."